My Lord and my God. It was Palm Sunday, and a family woke up and started getting ready to head to Mass. The father and mother made sure that each child was up and ready to go, but their 5-year-old Craig was complaining of having a sore throat. Craig's mother confirmed that he had a bit of a fever, and it was decided that he should stay home. Craig's mother stayed home with him, but due to the fever, he was forced to rest in bed versus watching television or moving around at all. When the family returned from Mass, Craig came to meet them, and he quickly noticed they were all carrying palms from the Palm Sunday Mass. Craig was quite inquisitive and interested about the palms and what he had missed. So he inquired about them and why they had the palms and what they were for and what had occurred at church. His dad replied that they were celebrating that Jesus had come into the town and the way that the people had everything ready for him and held their palms over Jesus' head as he passed by them. Craig looked very upset and he replied, "Wouldn't you just know it? The one Sunday I don't go and he actually shows up at church." Have you ever heard news that seemed too good to be true? Maybe that a friend from out of the area was visiting, or something special was in store for you. Perhaps the news was so good and so unexpected that you needed to see it to believe it. There is a healthy skepticism that we bring to the table. We don't want to get our hopes up only to be disappointed. We want proof, solid and undeniable proof. This is precisely Thomas's reaction on hearing the news of Jesus' resurrection. Though the disciples had been the witnesses to our risen Lord on Easter Sunday morning, Thomas was absent. And so he functions as the disciple for all of us. In a sense, we stand in the person of Thomas. We were not present that Easter Sunday evening. And perhaps like Thomas, we reply that seeing is believing. The beatitude that Jesus shares to Thomas is meant for each of us today. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. We are asked the same question and given the same opportunity today that Thomas received on this very day, almost 2,000 years ago. The church gives us this reading on the second Sunday of Easter, as that is when Thomas had his experience of the risen Lord. Though we are not given the opportunity to put our finger in the nail marks, we, like Thomas, may condition our belief to seeing. We all have scars from our Good Fridays that remain despite our small experiences of resurrection. Our nail marks remember and remind us of our pain, our grief, ridicule, suffering, disappointments, and anguish. And they're transformed into the healing and peace in the love of God we experience from others and that we extend to them. Jesus tells Thomas and his brothers not to be afraid of the nail marks or the scars, the fractured bones, the crushed spirit, and the broken heart. Compassion, forgiveness, justice, no matter how it is offered, can heal and mend. The gift Jesus gives his disciples is peace. It is not a peace that the world gives, that is merely an absence of war or hurt, but a peace that Jesus gives is the serenity in the face of life. The gift is a sense of calm, knowing that Jesus is my Lord and my God, and that there is nothing in this life that can separate him from me. Today's gospel recalls Jesus' prayer to the Father in the garden about not losing a single one who has been given to him. In this gospel, Jesus calls us friends, and it is a friendship that can never be broken because its hallmark is peace. Jesus asks us to believe in something that we cannot physically see and touch. Jesus asks us to hand over our fears and our doubt to him and to trust in the promise that he provides. Now, Jesus does not ask us to hand over anything that he himself has not already offered. St. Mark told us during our entire Lenten season that Jesus was handed over to be crucified. This is a part of a chain of events where Jesus was handed over, one after another, into unfriendly hands to ensure our salvation. It began when Judas handed him over to the chief priests, who handed him over to the executioners. And in the end, Jesus handed himself over to the Father in death. At last, he was received into friendly hands. Now, those same friendly hands await you and I, not only at death in and through the Father, but at every Mass. We can place ourselves on the altar and join with Christ as he gives himself into our Father's hands. Can we, if only for this Mass today, follow Jesus' example and hand ourselves over to our loving God? Can we give up our doubt and trust in something greater than ourselves? Perhaps it is something in the human condition that we do not automatically believe in good news, or news that might seem too good to be true. That can be a natural defense mechanism for us. But today, we learn that God wants to surprise us with joy. He wants us to live a life of resurrection, rather than be skeptics. He wants us to be joyful in the knowledge that his love is greater than even death. Our own experiences of loss can be transformed with the power of God's love. The marks of loss will always be there, as Jesus' body was marked with the signs of the cross. But something greater is in store. We can never take away the experience of loss, the experience of death, or the experience of a tragedy. But those experiences can be made new. Being made new does not mean that the loss is okay. Rather, in spite of the loss, in spite of the transgressions, and in spite of death itself, God has another reaction. He raises to new life. God transforms our pain, our loss, and abandonment into life, peace, and wholeness. This is the ultimate Paschal mystery that is lived out in our daily lives countless times with relationships, friendships, family, work, and even the cycles of our lovely weather outside. This Easter season, may we remember the grace bestowed on us, the font we have been washed in, by whose Spirit we have been reborn, and by whose blood we have been redeemed.